want to welcome everyone to Scott Parker Ministries.
Well, thank God. I want to welcome every person to the broadcast today. Father, I just give thanks for President Trump, Vice President Vance, the House, the Senate, the Congress, the courts of this land, judges of this land. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem and the restoration of Israel. I thank you, Father, that your spirit rests upon all the authorities of this land and all over the world. All right. We're going to go ahead and look at repentance today and how it fits together with the teaching about being crucified, buried, and raised up with Christ, which makes us alive unto God, coming out of our sin. You know why? Because repentance is necessary to bring us out of our sin. Not just believing Jesus died, you died with him, and you were raised up with him. And once you get established in your heart who you are in Christ, God's love for us, his mercy and his grace that's on all of us that have received his Son, and you make an effort to walk in Christ, and then there's no condemnation. So you just got to let God deliver you from all guilt and fear. And then when you get the understanding that there needs to be a continually brought to repentance, and that's a changing of the heart. Once you know, hey, I'm in Christ, there's no condemnation to me, then this is just going on to greater strength and victory in life. See, and God is continuing to establish you in this. After you receive the Lord, you're in Christ. You're no longer in a position of trying to get right with God. You're already in right standing with God. Righteousness has been imputed to you or counted. You're counted right before God, everyone that believes. Now God just wants to reproduce his own nature in us. Okay, turn to 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledge of the truth. We need to be instructed on how we oppose ourselves by walking contrary to God and have our eyes open to how we're walking contrary to God. And we also got to have our hearts turned to the knowledge of the truth. See, it's the truth that sets us free, the truth of what Jesus did on the cross. And those of us who have already turned to the Lord, once you've already initially turned to the Lord, now God is wanting to work on us to get our heart all straightened out. See, you didn't get all straightened out at once. We still have the lust of the old man to overcome, unless you already have. So you need to have faith ministered to you. You don't just need someone when they're dealing with your sin, just pointing at some sin, especially when they're ministering guilt, because it's counterproductive. Let's read 2 Timothy 2:25 in the English Standard Version. Correcting his opponents with gentleness, God may perhaps grant them repentance to the knowledge of the truth. Now look what happens when you're coming to the knowledge of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him in his will. Now, this is talking to believers. We have to come out of the snare of the devil. There are Christians that are snared by the devil. The devil, in other words, the devil could have some influence over you in one area or another in your life. And he's got you capped in that area, and that's why you have a problem with a certain sin. But then coming to the knowledge of the truth, you'll get set free from that. See, there's a lot of things that Jesus accomplished on the cross, but you have to believe it and walk this out for it to come to pass. Just like people say, well, we've been delivered from the power of darkness and translating the kingdom of his dear son, and no evil spirits have any kind of hold over you at all. You're in the kingdom of his dear son. The devil can't touch you. He can't do anything to you. He has no hold on you whatsoever. No, that's not true. That was worked out on the cross, but you have to be brought to repentance to recover yourself out of the snare of the devil. Okay, but remember, you're in Christ, so there's no condemnation to you. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, Jesus just got out of the wilderness. He was moving in the power of God. Then he says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Turn from what you were believing and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. See, as we believe, then the Lord is remaking our hearts so we can walk right. Verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. The word become fishers of men, is the same Greek word for become the sons of God, which means cause to be, come to pass, brought forth. Everything God's wanting us to do, he changes our hearts to do it. Okay? And he knows our hearts have to be changed to do it. So as we're turned to believe the gospel, God works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Jesus taught repent and believe. And the apostles taught the same thing. And they were saying, turn from what you were believing to believing this. It's not just turning from sin, but what you were believing. See, so let's look at how the apostles taught the same thing. As Jesus taught them. Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, turn towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. See, people can't overcome by just being told their sin. They need to be told the truth of the gospel and taught to overcome sin by faith. All right? This is why it's so important to get a revelation of who we are in Christ, because when you know who you are in Christ, you're no longer in a position of reproach anymore. We're in a position of right standing with God. And as we walk with the Lord, he saves us from our sins. You know, and your faith will work as you begin to understand that. All right? If you're under condemnation, your faith won't work. Look at this, Matthew 1:21. And she shall bring forth a son. Now look at what they say about Jesus when he's first born. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's look at repentance in Romans 2, verse 3. Thinkest thou this, O man, judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Okay, first notice it speaks of God's riches of goodness, forbearance, and longsuffering, and calling people to repentance. So God, he's rich in goodness. He's very longsuffering. He forbears us. Why? Because he knows it takes time to change our heart. Now, if you're already making an effort to walk in Christ, then the scriptures about wrath and punishment don't apply to you because you're under grace. And God, you know what it says? God's mercy is over all his works. Let's look at that. Psalm 145:9. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. And we're his works. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus on a good work, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. See, we're his workmanship. His tender mercies are over all his works. When you are just making an effort to believe and walk with the Lord, and you know what I said? People say, oh, you're just easy on people. And I said, no, I'm not. I'm showing them how to get out, because we're in the slavery of sin. And being hard is counterproductive. The only thing you have to be hard about is willful sin. If they're making an effort to walk in Christ, that's all they can do, because they can't do certain things. You know, like I talked about this last week. People say, oh, I wish I could read more. I wish I would have my heart more in God. And we say, that which I would do, I do not. And it's because of the sin in us. So, and if you condemn them for that, it just gets worse. Okay, but if you tell them, look, just make effort, and God will work in you both to will and make you more and more willing. And not only that, but he puts his love in you, and he begins to take you over, control you by his love. And then you love to do the things of God. See, I enjoy doing the things of God. That's my testimony. I'm wanting to overcome more. I'm wanting to walk in the power more. I'm wanting to do my faith work better and better. But, you know, I can only do what I can do. I can only walk where God has brought me to. And I no longer feel bad that I'm not walking here, or I'm not doing this. Look at Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more am I absent, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now we need to be in fear and trembling about willfully sinning, but not as the Lord is delivering us out of the slavery of sin. You can't, all you can do is apply yourself to believe and obey. All right? And your faith will work in the atmosphere of grace and mercy. It will not work in the atmosphere of condemnation. Okay, back to Romans 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, unchanging heart, treasure up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, as we're walking in Christ, you will find areas you still are unwilling to submit to God's will because you're under sin. You're still in the slavery of sin. So there still needs to be more repentance or a change of heart. So just go talk to God about it. Go tell him, so I want to do this. And so thank you, Lord, for changing me. See, one thing I've learned about God, it doesn't matter what's wrong with you or what you've done, just acknowledge it to God. See, when it's brought to your attention, something you're doing wrong, all God cares about is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to go to him and believe him to set you free? That's all you can do. I remember I was going to this one church and this minister kept putting us down. I said, man, I came here to be set free. I'm applying myself to believe. I'm applying myself to overcome. I began to get my eyes open. I said, this is counterproductive the way you're talking to us. Okay, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Okay, so we see we have to use our will in here. But you have to take the whole word of God because you can't straighten yourself out. Okay, verse 7, to them who by patience continuing in well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, the Jew first, also the Gentile. But glory, honor, peace. Now look at this. To every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. Let's read that in the International Standard Verse. But there will be glory, honor, peace for everyone who practices doing good. Initially for the Jews, also for the Greeks as well. If you're practicing the Word of God, even though you still have sinful ways to overcome, there's no condemnation. You're under grace. God's mercy is over you. Your sins are not counted up or held against you. We see that in Romans 4, where he said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. He will not count it up against you. He will not hold it against you. I used to sit there, and, you know, because I was in the slavery of sin, and nobody taught me this, and I had to learn this on my own. And I said, oh, I know God will forgive me, but how many times is he going to keep forgiving me? I keep doing it, and I keep doing it. Well, I had to get faith in the gospel to overcome it. I had to get faith in God's grace and mercy to overcome it. I had to keep walking and practicing the word to overcome it. And then finally, God showed me this. I'm not counting it up against you. I'm not holding it against you. I'm not trying. And then it says, who does that blessedness come on? See, it doesn't come on everybody. Who's it come on? Those that walk in the steps of Abraham. That means those that practice the word, those that are making an effort to keep the words. Not those who walk in it perfectly. We can't walk in it perfectly. Okay. Now, those who say, well, we need to fear the Lord. Well, yes, we need to have a healthy fear of the Lord when it comes to willfully yielding to sin. You know, you can't sit there and think that's okay. That'll bring all kinds of problems in your life. But we're not addressing that. I don't want to get into all that right now. Okay. Did you know that you can damage people if you teach repentance? If you don't teach repentance right, if you teach it wrong, you can damage people. Turn to 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh for repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Okay, a godly sorrow will work repentance, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. See, there's two different. The sorrow is the exact same sorrow. It's a grief, feeling bad. But a godly feeling bad will bring repentance. Being made to feel bad by the world, the way the world does it, will work death. You know, I heard this minister who was seeking to correct and bring people in his congregation to repentance. And this man heard a voice that he believed was God telling him, you have to be harder on the people. Yet one time he was reading about the gentleness of Christ, which is specifically talking about correcting and bringing people to repentance. And this minister said out of his own mouth, I'm not like that. God was trying to correct him out of his own mouth. You're not gentle in dealing with people to bring them to repentance and correct them. So instead of following the word of God, this minister followed a voice that was speaking contrary to the word of God. He ended up running almost everyone out of his church. See, always remember, we can see what the word of God says, but we can't see what spirit is ministering to us or speaking to us. So we need to judge any voice we're hearing and the spirit that's ministering to us by the word of God. I'm all for being led by the Spirit. I'm all for hearing the voice of God. Yes, we can hear the voice of God. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. But you better follow that word or you'll be deceived. 2 Corinthians 7:8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle have made you sorry, though it were but for a season. See what the Lord is like operating through his servant? They don't want to hurt you, but get you changed. And sorrow is only for a season. You know, I heard the same minister shame this woman in front of everybody. And then he said, well, you only have to go through this for a little while. So he believed this was the way to bring people to repentance. Shame them. I believe that is the sorrow of the world. Because the way the world operates, they go, shame on you for that. Why? It's the law of Moses in their heart. They condemn you. They pin sin on you. You hear it all the time. Okay, verse 9. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage in us in nothing. Godly sorrow will bring you to repentance and cause you to be delivered. It won't damage you. Shaming people, putting guilt on people will damage them. For godly sorrow, work of repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world, work of death. So Paul is talking about bringing people to repentance, and he says a godly sorrow, work of repentance, but a worldly sorrow, work of death. So here we see there's a right and a wrong way to bring people to repentance. And a lot of the way I've seen ministers operate is a worldly sorrow. That's what I believe. I believe I have the mind of God about this. I'm going to keep looking at this. And anytime I've learned this, anytime I have the mind of God about something, then I'll find another scripture later on that supports that. And then I'll find another scripture and it'll all flow with the rest of the scriptures. That's how you can tell you got it right. I already believe I got it right, but it becomes more and more clear to me. Now, a worldly sorrow works death. And this death is not a physical death. A minister trying to make you sorry about your sin the way the world does, it doesn't kill you physically. It makes you feel bad. It also causes you to rebel. See, we know the law applied to the old man, Romans 7, causes the old man, the sin nature in us, to want to do it more. We become exceedingly sinful. Go study it. I've taught on it many times. I taught a little on it. I touched on it a little bit last week. In other words, it keeps you in your sin. Works death keeps you in your sin. You stay in your sins, you're dead in sins. You know, and anyway, I've already said that about Romans 7. Okay, 2 Corinthians 7:10, I'm going to read the Common English Bible. Godly sadness produces a changed heart. See, in the other translation it says, godly sorrow work for repentance. Here, this translation says, godly sorrow produces a changed heart and life that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But sorrow to the influence of the world produces death. Now, I like this translation because it brings out just turning from sin is not the full picture of what repentance is. Yes, we turn from sin. We begin to apply. We say, okay, I'm going this way. I'm going the wrong way. Let's turn. Let's do like what we used to say in the military. Let's do an about face. Okay. But then godly sorrow, but then we do the about face, but then it's working a godly sorrow. It changes our heart. See, so a minister preaching repentance can either minister godly sorrow or a worldly sorrow. And the one ministering a godly sorrow will cause people to sorrow, to repentance, get those people delivered. Their hearts will be changed. But teaching repentance the way of the world will work death in the people they minister to. So Once again, how does the world deal with sin? Or doing what's, or, you know, people, when they see people doing wrong. We see this all the time. You see it all over, especially since the, you know, since the internet, people are just, everybody, you hear what everybody's saying. You got to know this from the Word of God. The whole world is under the law. And the law makes you accuse, condemn, and shame people. Okay? Let's go ahead and put a song here. We'll do It Is No Secret What God Can Do by Pamela Pontia. Also, we have another song coming out soon, maybe by next week. They're also in the process of doing We Are More Than Conquerors. That's another good one. Okay, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. Pamela Pontia.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have hope for you. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in God's light you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take Him at His promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. It is no secret what God can do.
All right, turn to John 5:45. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. This is Jesus talking. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. Accused means to charge with an offense, and Jesus will not do that to you. Hear these words. Jesus will not do that, but Moses will. the law. People need to get their eyes open in this area. Ministers that are always trying to pin a sin on you, make you feel guilty, shame you for sin, are ministering a worldly sorrow. They are not walking like Jesus. Let's read John 5:45 in the New Life Version. Do not think that I will tell the Father you are guilty. The one who says you are guilty is Moses. You trust him. Now let that sink in. Jesus will not tell you that you are guilty. What? Let's read it again. John 5:45, New Life Version. Do not think that I will tell the Father you are guilty. The one who says you are guilty is Moses. All right? You trust him. See, there's a difference in being convinced of sin and being guilty of sin. And there's no condemnation in those that are in Christ. The condemnation is in Moses. Okay, John 3:16, very well-known scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son of the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. All right? And if you go on reading, it said this is the condemnation because light's come in the world and men love darkness. In other words, they would stay in the darkness. When the light came and started to expose their sins, start to correct them, they stayed in it. Okay. So when the Lord is correcting you, bringing you to repentance, there's no condemnation. Well, you know, people say, well, what about Jesus speaking to all those Jews hard things? I'm talking about the scribes and the Pharisees, and tell them how can they escape the damnation of hell. Well, that was because they rejected Jesus, even when God was doing all these miracles to prove who he was. And you know, I read that just that John 5:45. You know what 46 says? If you believe Moses, you believe me. Let me read the whole thing in context. Do not think that I will tell the Father you are guilty. The one who says you are guilty is Moses. You trust him. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. See, these people say, oh, I believe Moses. I believe in the law of Moses and everything, but I don't believe in Jesus. Well, if you believe Moses, you'd believe Jesus, for he wrote of Jesus. So, Jesus being hard on those scribes and Pharisees because they rejected him. They rejected Jesus, who wouldn't condemn them, and they held to Moses, who condemned them. You know? You want to make your bed, sleep in it. Okay, Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Okay, now we all have to deal with this. And when you feel condemnation, it is not coming from the Lord Jesus Christ. I just read, he will not say you're guilty. It's coming from evil spirits and your own heart. Okay. Because we have the law in our heart. And I've taught how the law was nailed to the cross. It has to be erased from our heart. You know? But you need to get in your heart established who you are in Christ. You're righteous. You're accepted. You're forgiven. You're favored. This is all given to you in your fallen state. And then as you just believe on Jesus and walk with him, you have a robe of righteousness on him. You're in right standing with God. And he's straightening out your heart. Okay? 2 Corinthians 3:7. Let's read that. I'm reading the International Standard Version. Now, if the ministry of death. Now, what is this? That was inscribed in letters of stone. Came with such glory that the people of Israel could not gaze on Moses' face because the glory was fading away. Now, this is clearly talking about the law of Moses that was written with a finger of God in stone tablets. And it says, it's a minister of death. Having the law of Moses preach you, it's not going to kill you physically, but the law makes sin abound, which keeps you dead in sins. Let's read that. 5:20, English Standard Version. Now the law came to increase the trespass. But where sin increased, grace abounded the more. So, let's read Romans 3:19. I'm going to lay a little groundwork here. Now we know what things serve the law, say if it's saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth be stopped. Now see, this is what God wanted, and all the world became guilty for God. Now stay with me. I'm going to show you the purpose of all this. Romans 2:14-15. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contain the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Okay, so the purpose of the law was to give us the knowledge of sin, make us guilty, bring us to Christ. Then we're no longer under the law. We're no longer under guilt. After you come to Christ, then the Spirit starts to change your heart, and He doesn't use guilt to do it. If God used guilt to bring us to repentance, He would have kept us under the law. The guilt is only till you come to Christ. You know, as soon as you receive Christ, you're no longer under a schoolmaster. You're no longer under the law. Now you're in Christ, and there's no condemnation to you. Didn't mean you're all straightened out. Didn't mean you're all conformed to the image of Jesus. But there's no condemnation while God's working all this out. Now, Paul said he didn't cause any damage to the people he ministered. Now, let's go to verse 11 and see what a godly sorrow does to a person. Okay? See, and I showed you that about the law because it works death. It's a ministry of death. And so, worldly sorrow works death. See? That it's in the hearts of people, and that's why people condemn. That's why people shame people. That's why they accuse people. It's the law operating in them. So, verse 11, back to 2 Corinthians 7:11. This is what a godly sorrow does. Behold, the selfsame thing. Ye sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness wrought in you? Yea, what clearing of yourself? Yea, what indignation? Yea, what fear? Yea, what vehement desire? See, yea, what zeal? Yea, what revenge? In all things you reprove yourself to be clear in this matter. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you another way I believe God leads us to repentance. James 1:23. For if any be a doer of the word, not a hearer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. Okay. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. As we be a doer of the word, it's like looking into a glass or a mirror. See, this mirror in this glass is just talking about is the word of God. And look what it says. You see what manner of person you are. Okay? When you're looking in the word, you keep being a doer of the word, you're looking at yourself in the mirror. And you see your sinful characteristics and traits and ways. Okay? But just remember, as you see your sinfulness, you're in Christ. You're under grace. There's no condemnation. So now, this know this also, as in that same mirror is the glory, you'll see the glory of the Lord. My microphone's probably picking that out. I'm doing this from my office at my house. Somebody's alarm is going off on their car. And I'm probably going to have to get a studio where I pad it. Okay, when you see your sinfulness, remember, you're in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you're under grace. There's no condemnation. And also in that mirror, you see the glory of the Lord. Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:16-18. We're going to look at the same mirror. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, this word turned, when it says turn to the Lord, a lot of people think that means you just receive the Lord. This word turned is the same Greek word for converted. You know, when Jesus said to Peter, when thou art converted, go strengthen thy brother. Same Greek word. So when you're converted or as you're converted, because it's an ongoing conversion, the veil is being removed. As the veil is being removed, you can see the glory of the Lord. You can read about it already, but now you're going to begin to see the Lord. Stay with me. I'm going to show you how God will bring you to repent. And so as you read the Bible and obey it, you're looking into the mirror. As you're being converted, you're beginning to see what the Lord is like. Verse 17, now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open face, open face, what is open face? The veil's being removed. You're being converted, now the veil's being removed. Stay with me. You got to put all this together. You don't just come to the Lord, receive the Lord, and you can read about the glory of the Lord, but you haven't seen Him yet. But as you're being converted, the veil's beginning to be removed, and now you're with open face. You're beholding as in a glass. That's the mirror. That's the Word of God. You're seeing the glory of the Lord. Now look what happens. This is why I believe this is repentance. In fact, now I know it is. I believed it before. Now I know it more than I ever did before. So you looked into the mirror. You saw your sinful characteristics and traits. But you're also seeing the same mirror, the glory of the Lord. With open face, you're beholding as a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. And look, it's from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? That's repentance. Repentance is a change of heart. And as you're and you have to walk in the Word. You have to walk in the Word and let the Lord convert you. You know, it says the Word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. As you walk in it, you'll be converted as the Spirit of God's leading you. And then the veil is being removed. Then you're as open face, you're beholding as in a glass, in that mirror of the Word of God. Now you're seeing the glory of the Lord. And you're changed in the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. See, we didn't become a new creature in Christ or have a whole new heart instantaneously, or you wouldn't have to keep having your heart changed. Okay? Now, a changed heart is a repentant heart. So I believe as we look into the mirror of God's Word, we see the bad things about us. At the same time, as we begin to look in that, as we continue to look in that mirror, we see what the Lord's like. And I'm convinced more and more that this is one of the way God brings us to repentance, because we don't want to be the way we are. The more you see the way you are in the right perspective, see, people are doing all this evil. It's hard. You have to understand something about sin. It's darkness. You know what it says about those that hate their brother? They're in darkness and walk in darkness. And you can see other places. Sin is darkness. And people, the counsel of their heart is darkened. They don't really perceive how bad they are. But as you walk in the light of God's Word and you begin to have this revealed to you, you begin to see what you're like, and you look in that mirror and you don't want to be that way. You start to see more and more things about you. Say, I don't want to do it. And then you see the Lord and you go, oh, I want to be that way. Well, thank God in Christ, there's no condemnation. So the more you get a revelation of who you are in Christ, then you go, you're not condemned to see the bad things about you, because you know it's being exposed. You're going to get delivered. Okay. I said this also, it's from glory to glory, honor to honor, as the Lord changes. It's a process. Okay. Now, I'm going to show you this again about seeing the glory of the Lord. Job 42. Then Job answered and said, verse 2, I know that thou canst do anything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I uttered that I understood not. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee. Boy, Job is bold. You're going to demand of God? But he had a right heart when he said it. I demand of thee and declare unto thee. I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Now you have to understand, there was a repentance going on. God had been dealing with Job. His heart was being brought to repentance. He was seeing what he was like. And now he said, I've heard thee. He was being converted. He was seeing what he was like. And then he was beginning to behold the glory of the Lord. He said, I've heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Verse 6, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. See, Job was seeing what he's like. Then he was seeing the Lord. He was changed. He was brought to repentance. Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, and let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that understandeth and knoweth me. I wasn't putting that together right. Let me start over. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understand and knoweth me, that I am the Lord. Now look at how the Lord is, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, that's correction, and righteousness in the earth. In these things I delight, saith the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Look how God is. He didn't come to show us our sin and I got you. No, he came to show us sin. And he says, I delight In loving kindness, judgment, correcting you. In righteousness, I delight in changing you to be like me. Psalm 34:18, Amplified Bible. The Lord is near to the broken, or the heart broken, and he saves those that are crushed in spirit, contrite spirit, truly sorry for their sin. Psalm 51:10, International Standard. God create a pure heart in me and renew a right spirit within me. Okay, let me check for time. 35 minutes, that's good. Thank God. Okay, so as we continue to get established who we are in Christ, there's no condemnation in us. We've been had righteousness imputed to us by faith, and we have a robe of righteousness as we're walking with God. Even though he's correcting every bad thing about us, even though he's straightened out, he looks at us and sees us as righteous. Do you know how many times in the Bible it says, beloved, beloved? Even when he says, work out your salvation, he says, beloved. Okay? So, we're going to continue to get established who we are in Christ. And I was listening to another minister talk about that. She said some really good things. But I know that they got the part about instantaneous being a new creature in Christ is wrong. And I'm going to teach you what the Word of God says about it. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And you won't have to be condemned about it as God's he's making you the righteousness of God on the inside, because he looks at you as righteous and he has declared you righteous already. All right, that's all I've got. If there's anyone out there that's never been born again, never been saved, and born again is a process too. Born again and being saved, same thing. It's an ongoing work of grace God does in the believer's life. I know that is foreign to you. I know you've been taught all your life that you said a prayer, got born again, and got a whole new heart. There's so many scriptures that teach an ongoing work of God changing your heart after people come to the Lord. And I know you can take a few scriptures and it sounds like you got a whole new heart. But the problem is they're not taking the whole counsel of God. That's why they're not understanding that. So, say this prayer to receive the Lord. It is written, there's no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved but the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's no other name. There's no other way to be saved. No man can come to the Father but through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. And it says, whosoever calls upon that name shall be saved. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do is call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. So say this prayer to me. Lord Jesus, I just call upon you. I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I receive you as my Savior. And it says, as many as received him, gave he right to become the sons of God. Okay? Which were born, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. See? And they take that scripture and think you got a whole new heart. But anyway, we're going to go into that. So, I receive you, Lord Jesus. I receive you right now. I thank you for being my Lord and Savior. So, if you meant that, you called upon the name of the Lord, you received him, you know what happened to you? The Spirit of Christ entered into you. You're ready to start walking with him. So, I encourage you, if you said that prayer, come back. You know, part of my ministry is to feed God's sheep. And God said, I will raise up pastors after my own heart. And they don't just feed you knowledge, but understanding. All right? Anybody can get knowledge. But understanding. You need to be fed with understanding. All right. That's all I've got for today. Everybody have a great day. God bless.
We are so glad you could join us today. We want to invite you to visit us at scottparkeronline.com. There you will find teachings, exhortations, testimonies, and ministry and music. We also have a blog on the end times. Everybody have a great day.